If mornings feel harder than they should, your sleep might be the reason. The original bamboo sheets by Caraloha create 5-star comfort that helps you fall asleep faster and sleep deeper thanks to the natural, cooling, soft benefits of Caraloha bamboo fabrics. No tossing, no overheating, just the kind of sleep that helps you wake up clearer, calmer, and ready to go. It's resort-level relaxation that turns every night into a reset for your body and mind. Start tomorrow feeling better than today. Shop Caraloha bamboo sheets now at caraloha.com. That's CARILOHA.com. And wake up to better mornings every morning.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. This is the first time I have spoken today, and I can hear it in my voice. Thank you so very much for taking the time to join me today. I appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out to Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. Wow, that was a little bit rough. I wasn't even paying attention. I was just sitting around doing things. And I thought, you know what? I need to get down on the mic here and talk to everybody. And I literally haven't said a word. And I think I've had maybe 2 sips of coffee. So things are a little hoarse this morning, but there's a lot of pollen in the air, so maybe I can just blame it on the pollen. Today is not a kind of named or branded type of episode. My original intent was to make this a Bee Buzz episode, just label it as a Bee Buzz. Then I kind of revisited that in my mind and realized I know that there are a couple of people who they're just not really into the Q&A. They're looking for the more detailed, you know, specific biological function of things or how to do different tasks, and what other people are doing is just not something they're interested in, which I completely understand. Everybody, you know, wants different things. But I thought if I label this as a Bee Buzz, some people might miss the messaging. So what I am going to do is I have a list that it's a pretty large list that I compiled, and I truncated it down to something that's a little bit more manageable to kind of wrap up, I guess, what I'm going to call not necessarily the end of the spring questions, but all of them that I can get to for now, because it's just too busy. There's so much going on that I am definitely still answering your questions when you message, obviously. I just going through all of them again. We got to get laser focused and make sure we're using our time in the best way because of all the things that are going on that I'm going to be discussing with you today. I had really hoped to have this discussion with you yesterday on the 1st, but there's just been so much going on. I mean, this is the first time I have sat down at my mic in like a week. I haven't even been in this room other than to try to track down camera stuff and different things. It's been crazy. We've got the bees back here again. I have a full video that I did the other day on using a product called Swarm Sauce, which I will talk about in the video, but I'll give you a little bit of kind of a teaser here. I had posted the video last year about the pill bottle swarm trap, and somebody commented like, hey, I use Swarm Sauce. And I said, well, I've never heard of it. So I asked them, you know, hey, would you guys mind sending me a sample that I can use to show in my swarm traps? They said, absolutely. Within a couple of days, it was at my house. So I went ahead and did a video using that. Now, as you guys might remember, you know, last year we were using a different product and I had bought some lemongrass oil to use this year, but I decided to shift gears a little bit. And I'll tell you, I think there might be something to it. I don't want to give it all away for the video here, but I mean, I was putting this on, there's two different things that it came with. One of them was just the regular liquid style that you spray. The other one looks like a chapstick. Like when it first came to me, I'm like, oh, cool. They sent me some Swarm Sauce chapstick. No, you don't use it as a chapstick. You can actually kind of, you know, wipe it on different parts of the hive near the entrance or other places. And of course, you know, that has more of a longer lasting kind of application. So, I mean, I got those all set up. I put the bait on. I didn't have the bait on those things for more than, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. And there were bees on me. I mean, I'm hanging the swarm trap and there's bees around me. I'm like, what's going on, guys or gals? So anyway, I've got that video I've got to get done. I've got a video that I have to do a voiceover on. I was doing a package bee install. That's actually the next episode, installing packages. And I wanted to point in that episode, hey, check out my video of me actually doing this a couple of days ago. And I'm doing, oh my gosh. Okay. So I wasn't even going to talk about this today, but I'm doing my video. And I mean, I got everything all set up. I got the packages ready to go. I got the tripod, all the stuff on so I can get everything captured. And I say, oh, that's right. I got to run in the house and grab something. I can't remember what it was. I ran in the house. I came outside. As I'm walking back up to hit the record button, I hear like a big box truck driving by. And I live in a cul-de-sac. The cul-de-sac is kind of the end of the road here. You know, I'm right by the end of the cul-de-sac where people go to turn around. And I thought, it happens all the time. Somebody makes a delivery down here. They come down, turn around, head back down the road. So I'm standing there for a second, and the box truck kind of turns around in the cul-de-sac, and I'm just waiting. And then I hear the very distinct sound of 2 zero-turn motors firing up, and I'm like, oh, no, the neighbor's getting the grass cut. Which, I mean, obviously, you can't be upset about that. People gotta get the grass cut. It happens. I completely get it. So I'm like, all right. So I go kill a half hour. You know, I go and get other Hive pieces ready. And because I had four packages to install that day. So I'm like, you know what? I'll go prep some of the other frames. I'll go get some other things done. And then I come back later. And as I'm like 45 seconds into my video doing the package install, the neighbor's dog starts lighting me up. And she's just, bah, 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 bah. And I'm like, oh. So I got to do a voiceover on that so it's nice and clean. And I don't know, maybe we can leave it in there just as a joke to laugh about. Anyway, that it's just been like one thing after another. So let me get into all the things that I'm actually supposed to be talking to you about today. And at the end, I think I've got 10 or 15 questions that I just want to get answered. And if you are still sending questions in, I will absolutely still answer them. I'm just not planning to do another like BeeBuzz style Q&A anytime soon. Unless all of a sudden there's a massive influx of like 50 people emailing me going, oh my God, Jeff, I'm not going to make it without the BeeBuzz. I really need to focus on some of these other things that we have going on right now. And I want to put really important things out there for you. Like, for example, today I'm going to go out this afternoon and I've got, the packages were installed on Monday, the first four. The next two shipped this morning. They'll be here probably somewhere between Saturday and Monday, depending on all the shipping things that have to take place. But I'm going out today. It's day three, and I'm going to go out there and just do a quick video of me removing the queen cages, making sure the queens have been released. If they're not released, I'm going to go ahead and, open up the rest of that little sugar plug. Now, as you may have heard me say before, whenever I work with the queen cages, I don't just pop the cork off over the sugar plug. And I feel so bad. Somebody messaged me the other day and they were like, my queen's not released yet. I don't know what to do. And I said, can you send me a picture of your queen cage by chance? And they're like, yeah, no problem. And they pulled the queen cage out and they sent me pictures. And I said, you got to get that little piece of cork out of there. And they were so embarrassed. And I said, it's fine. It happens. Like, I completely get it. You got to make sure you remove the little piece of cork that's covering the candy block that's in there. Anyway, so what I always do, and I've been doing this probably for about a decade now, is I just take the nail that I have with me whenever I'm working on packages, and I just push that nail. I usually aim it slightly towards the top of that sugar block, and I just push it all the way up and through till it comes out the other side. Keep an eye on your queen and make sure you don't poke her in the head. And then I bring it back out. It kind of creates a nice broken up pathway to get through there. I am guessing it probably shaves a day off of them getting access to the queen. It's not making a huge difference. I want to get her out a little quicker. It's just something that I do. Anyway, I'm going out today. I'll do a kind of a video of that one, but that's like video number three that's in the list that I had to get edited. I've got to get the swarm trap one done. Part of me, they have been all over that. I mean, they have been all over it the past like 2 or 3 days. It's 80 something degrees today. It was like 78, 80 yesterday. I know that something's about to happen there. And part of me was thinking, well, I'll delay a little bit so I can do the whole video where it's, here's me prepping everything. Here is me baiting it. Here it is on the tree. And here's the swarm that showed up, 10 days later. I'm not going to wait much longer. I'm going to go ahead and get that out. We can always do an update later on. But I do want you guys to see how I set it up. In the video, I also show how I wax frames without melting it down. It's just my surfboard style waxing where I, make a ball of wax out of wax foundation and just kind of wax it on like that. It works pretty well. It doesn't give as good of coverage, in my opinion, as melting it and painting it on. But when you're in the field and you got to get it done, works really well. Next video, of course, is the Package B install, and then we'll do a queen release and confirmation video, just talking through a couple of things you want to look at. You know, when I do that release, I'm not doing an inspection. I basically open things up. I'm probably not even going to smoke them because my hope is that they're still going to be a little calm and not, you know, not too angry yet. They haven't had a lot of reasons yet to hate me. You know, I'll give them some later, but I'm just opening it up. I'm going to reach in, and I have those queen cages suspended on the top of a couple frames with a nail or a toothpick. I just make a little hole in the end of it so I can dangle it. That way I open the top, reach down, grab the nail or toothpick, lift it straight up, give a little shake to make sure the bees that are on it come off, and then I can close it back up and go on about my way. If they get a little bit irate with me, then, you know, we'll gear up and we'll get it figured out. But it is not a full inspection. It is just reach in, get the cage, queen is released, awesome, close it up, and go back about your day. I will do an actual full inspection on those most likely on Sunday. Okay, so now the real things that I wanted to cover in this episode before I got off on all of the tangents of everything else. I wanted to take a minute to make an acknowledgement. And, you know, it's really easy to get caught up in everything that's going on. I mean, and it's just, it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, you can be, you know, a trash truck driver, or you can be a CEO. It doesn't matter what you do, what walk of life. Like, there's always a lot of things going on in your life. And it gets really easy sometimes to just forget about things that are important. Maybe you forget to tell somebody you love that you love them. Or, you know, maybe you forget to tell your kids how proud you are or how special they are to you, or to congratulate them on something. I really wanted to make sure that I was taking the time to thank all of you for several things. The first thing I want to do is I want to thank the folks who are the Buy Me a Coffee supporters and those who donate to, you know, the Beekeeping for Newbies entity. You know, you guys and gals out there have an impact that is, it's very difficult to quantify, but every year, I think that the support that comes from the community gets closer and closer, and it brings us closer and closer to actually breaking even on, you know, on what it costs to do everything here. And I mean, I think it's a possibility that this year could be the year that we actually do break even. But what I want to do specifically is make sure that I'm identifying people by name. And this is not in a particular order outside of, you know, the membership tiers themselves. I think I've captured all of the names. If I missed you, please let me know so that I can be sure to acknowledge you on a subsequent episode. And I'm really serious about that. No one gets left behind. I don't want anybody to be involved and be contributing, and for whatever reason, something didn't show up as I was aggregating things. But our drone tier members, so Michelle, Airborne Scott, who likes to stand up, hook up, and shuffle out the door, Andrew and Sherry. Next up is the worker tier folks. That's Jay, Aaron, Tony, and Michael. And lastly, our supporters that are not in a tier but continue to donate out of the kindness of their hearts. We got Mike, Z-Man, Craig, DJ, and Amy. And there are a couple of anonymous donations as well. So thank you to all of you folks. I really seriously could not do it without you. Between web hosting, software licensing, video editing software, cameras, mics, and on, it gets a little expensive every year. But I can't thank you enough for helping to kind of lighten that load and helping, you know, make it more manageable for me. I promise you that none of these funds are going into fancy dinners and a lavish lifestyle. I think we made about $1,000 in donations last year. $850 of it was spent on the bee packages that are coming in right now. Like I mentioned earlier, four of them are here. Two of them will be here in the next couple of days. And whatever was left went to covering, you know, about 20% of the hive monitoring project. So again, every penny is getting reinvested to provide more beekeeping content. And with that, I also want to thank you again, because we just broke 700,000 downloads, which is pretty crazy to me. It seems like just the other day it was, you know, like 1,000 and then 10,000, 100,000. And, you know, we're within striking distance of 1,000,000. And I'm guessing that'll probably happen early next year. I mean, it could be the end of this year. You know, if you tell a couple of friends and then they tell two friends and I don't know why that like 80s commercial popped into my head. But anyway, I think it's very possible that we hit that number sometime towards the end of the year. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing it with your friends. Thank you for the emails and allowing me to be a part of the journey. It really, it's a pleasure. It's so much fun. It means a lot to me. And I hope that you guys are having a good time too. I want to jump in now and do a course update. Now, we've talked about this for a long time, or I have to you all, and I don't know that I have fully described or explained everything. I put notes up on the website that kind of walk through, you know, sort of the mission behind the Master Beekeeper program that we've been creating for a long time. I have talked about it a little bit in the Discord room. I don't believe I've provided all of the full updates and explained exactly what that is. But I want to do that right now, just so you understand what it is, what the status of it is, and then what the direction is going forward. Years ago, I thought I'm going to go take a Master Beekeeper course. And I started looking at everything that went into it. And, well, you have to attend these meetings, and then you have to prove that you've been a beekeeper so long. And then if you can't prove, you can probably get somebody to vouch for you. And then you go to the bee conference that happens a couple times a year, and you spend a couple $100 between hotels and travel and meals and all that kind of stuff. And then you pay to take the test, and then you take the test, and you make sure you do your community service hours and making sure that everybody knows who you are. And it's a very social thing, and it's a proximity thing that you kind of either need to be near things or willing to travel to them. But there's an established program, lots of great reputable entities out there that have said, this is what we determine to be the best course. It covers all the things that need to be covered. And you have these tiers you have to go through, and you have community service hours you need to do, and you need to present here and participate here with a bee club. And there's lots of different things that need to be done. And I love it. I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. I think there are people who make a decision. I would love to see more young people, because, you know, the bee things I've been associated with are all like people like me. They're getting older. Their hair is gray. And it's like, it'd be really cool to see like an infusion of, you know, younger folks that are getting excited about beekeeping. And I think it's happening. I think it's definitely happening. It's just, ideally we'd have maybe a few more, but anyway, being able to learn in that very structured environment and being able to have incredibly reputable people teaching. Like, and I'll give you some examples off the top of my head. Dr. Jamie Ellis down there in Florida, I think it's UCF. This guy's awesome. I mean, like, I have like this, bee man crush on the guy. He's a really sharp dude. He really has it together as it relates to beekeeping knowledge. I mean, I think he's like PhD entomology kind of thing. I mean, brilliant guy. He's involved in a lot of research. I've seen his name in a lot of papers and things that I've read, you know, in conducting and participating in bee research. People like him. You got Scott Debnam out there at University of Montana on their program. It's an online program out there. And again, another really bright guy. He's out of Alabama. Well, he's from Alabama, but he's in Montana now. But there are great people in the community who have these really amazing programs in place, and they are a great fit for probably, I don't know, 85-90% of the people. But then there's this other group of people, and I see them as a lot of disabled veterans, first responders, people who maybe have depression, anxiety, maybe they're missing limbs. Maybe they live really, really far away in a rural area and don't have access to a good mentor. They don't have access to the traditional kind of environment you might get when you're in maybe a suburban area or even a rural area that has some proximity to some more developed, you know, suburban communities and things. I thought, well, why do these people, for example, you got a combat veteran. There's a guy I've talked to a few times, listens to the podcast, combat veteran, multiple TBIs. He's working on developing his own type of a horizontal hive solution that can better accommodate him and folks who have been through some of the challenges that he faces. So I'm thinking about people like him and those who, well, they can't really go to all these places. They can't go and participate in a in-person course or go to a conference or do a lot of volunteer hours. These are people dealing with lots of headaches and migraines and a lot of things that just preclude them from being able to do all the things that absolutely have to be done. And if there is a task like, well, you have to complete a hive inspection. Well, I only have one arm. So how do they handle that now? And I'm not picking on any of the programs because there's a lot of exceptional programs out there. I don't know how much flexibility they have. I know that everything I've read online, I've never seen any notes anywhere that say, hey, we're gonna adapt some of the standards to meet your needs in the event that you have any kind of issues. Now, of course, there's ADA stuff like Americans with Disabilities Act, but I don't think ADA is going to have any application to the certification of a course. Like, it's going to cover you for having a wheelchair ramp going up to the facility and things like that. But there's nothing out there that requires somebody to make a course different to accommodate somebody else. So as I was thinking about all these things and going through kind of my pursuit of this, I found a better way. So what I did was I formed a team. I reached out to my network and I pulled a few people who I've known for a long time and who I trust. And I said, hey, would you guys mind doing something for me? And I had a discussion with them individually, and then I brought them together. And it's three master beekeepers with a combined experience of over 100 years. I had a discussion with all of them. I told them what I was trying to do. I told them that the budget was pretty limited, but that I would make it up to them on the back end because I don't have money to pay them on the front end. And take all the time you need because I just want, you know, a little bit of time here and there. Because I can't pay you right now, but can you help me out? They were really excited about it. And they said, look, we've got a lot of things going on. We're happy to help when we can. I grabbed a colleague that I know who is an adult educator with over 20 years of experience, PhD. I pulled him in and said, listen, can you facilitate this? Can you organize this in a way that makes sense? It kind of gives me a tiny bit of distance from it because I don't want to be the one telling them, no, this is wrong. You're doing this wrong. You should do this this way or that way. I wanted to be an objective third party to it, basically, so that I can then go through it, take it myself, and make sure that we're covering all of the material and that I am able to convey all of that to all of you. And in addition to that, the big component is whenever there is a hands-on task or whenever there is a task that requires a lot of kind of deep cognitive kind of function, I want them to make sure that they are at least thinking of and making notes about possible alternate activities. Because when I wanted to design this program, I wanted to make sure that if somebody says to me like, hey, Jeff, I know that there is a requirement in your apprentice course to light a smoker, I'm always going to have my son or my daughter or my wife light my smoker because I have one arm and it's really difficult for me. I would say, you know what? Send me your video like we're going to do. We're going to have a video upload area. You just upload your video. I'll say, do me a favor. Don't worry about doing it to a standard. I want you to give me a video showing me how you're going to do it in your bee yard because it doesn't matter. The key of the whole thing, the only thing that matters, did you get the smoker lit so that you can go and conduct a safe inspection? And I'm not trying to pick a fight with people and argue over why you should or shouldn't use smokers or whatever. If you don't like smokers, don't use them. To pass the class, you're going to do a video lighting a smoker. But again, if that's what's going to work for him, if that's how he's going to do it, then that's fine. Again, using a similar example, if somebody says, hey, I can't really do the traditional inspection, but here's the method that I would like to use, or here is an alternate approach, we're going to discuss it. We're going to have dialogue around it, and we're going to help you get through it. Now, people will say, well, Jeff, that's really cool that you're willing to make some changes and adapt to people and things like that, but you're basically self-certifying your program. Like, how does that even make sense? If you think about a college, just pick a university. We'll go ahead and pick like the University of Virginia, the home of the Hoos. If you go and you attend courses at the University of Virginia and you receive a degree, that is an accredited university. There is not an accrediting body in the beekeeping world for a beekeeping certification. A certification is only as good as you believe it is. So if someone calls and says, hey, Jeff, I'm really excited that you're offering this course. I wanted to go work for Department of Forestry, or I want to go work for Department of Agriculture, or I want to go be somewhere and I want to get a job with these credentials. What do you think? I'm going to say what you need to do is find your state's association program. go through that, whether it's the Great Plains, you know, Eastern Apiculture Society, one of the many amazing programs that are out there. You need to go do one of those. They are established and they are going to align you better to accomplish your goals and what you are trying to do. That's not my target audience. Not that you can't come. We welcome everybody. If you want to come in and you just want to get the education, you want to get the certification, and you want to go out and be a great beekeeper at your home, in your community, and however you want to do it, that's completely fine. But you got to remember that it's not a world-known program. Now, I think over time, as more people complete it, and they get out and they start teaching others and showing others things, and then it'll gain credibility over time. But remember, the goal for me is not, let's create a world-renowned program that everybody loves and wants to attain, right? I would put that more like in those two, like EAS and Great Plains, like those are great programs. Again, University of Central Florida, University of Montana. I can go all day. There's a lot of great programs that are out there. But that's not the goal. The goal is to take people who have a very specific need. It's a very specific group. Again, like veterans, first responders, and everyone else. Anyone who aligns and fits into the category of having some kind of a physical or emotional challenge that precludes them from participating in all of these day-to-day activities, but they still want to be an exceptional steward of the land and a great beekeeper and a great supporter of the pollinators and all of those things. That's the real target. So I suspect that over time, we will get the credibility that helps to put us in a higher category, and maybe some folks down the road might actually provide some reviews and say, hey, that's a pretty exceptional program. Here's what you need to know about it. While I think it would be great to be well-respected nationally and all those kinds of things, my goal is incredibly simple. We have a set of standards. All of these standards have been pulled from dozens. I think it's 18 or 20 total programs worth of data that have been ingested into this to make the program. Now, the journeyman and master are not done. The apprentice is mostly done. But they are very comprehensive. They are covering the same materials. It's just a matter of who is issuing the certificate. So if the knowledge and the ability to do the tasks is what's important, this is going to be a path. Now, I'm giving you all the background because, like I said, I've never really talked about all the details of it. So that's kind of what that looks like. And you may have heard, if you were following along at home last year, I was trying to get this out by November of last year. I wanted to release, before Christmas, and that way people could get started. And by the time the spring rolled around, they were ready to go and they would have all of next year, this year to practice, get their game together, figure out how to be a good apprentice level beekeeper. You roll into next spring, you get the next course done, and then you wait a couple of years and you do the master type of thing. So as I'm thinking about getting this apprentice course released, maybe in the November timeframe, I start thinking about like intellectual property. And what if I start putting content out, somebody starts taking it, I have no trademark, no protection of my brand or my intellectual property. So I'm like, you know what, let me take a little bit more time. Let me get US patent and trade involved. Let's get everything submitted so that we are like a legal entity. And then at least if I have to deal with a situation where somebody is trying to steal content, I have some legal basis to do so. So that finally came in. That was great that finally got resolved earlier this year as well. But that was kind of another thing that made me pull back a little bit and hold off. Then I have some like tooth trauma and end up last year. This is a great one. I end up with this like loose tooth about, I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks before my daughter's wedding last summer. I managed to keep it together there long enough. I got a referral from my VA community care dentist to the VA to hopefully get that resolved. It's been 7 months and they actually haven't even responded to the referral for an endodontist. So right around Christmas, like a day or two before Christmas, boom, tooth falls out. Now, like my plan was, all right, we're doing full recording, like 1 January, we're going all in. I'm going to start recording, getting all the classroom-based videos done. So that now I'm like, okay, well, now I don't have a tooth and I'm not going to do a video of me teaching anything toothless. I didn't even want to do a toothless YouTube video. I was kind of annoyed by the whole thing. So I find this thing on Amazon, which I'm still amazed by. It was $100. and they mail you an impression kit. You do the impressions. You take a picture of them. They say, yes, this is good. They send you a shipping label. You throw it all back in the original box, send it to them. 3 weeks later, they send you a partial. And like, here I am now with my Amazon partial tooth, and you can't even tell. It's pretty cool. So I'm very impressed with that. So now I'm like, okay, cool. Now it's time. Like, now I'm ready to sit down and get this thing recorded and get it knocked out. So this is like, I think we're still in maybe, I think it was like early February of this year. And I'm like, it's no problem because the bees are going to be here in a couple of days. I just got to get the, you know, classroom portions tightened up and we're good. And I plug my Sony camera. Like, I take my battery, I plug, you know, pop the battery into it, turn it on. And this is a new camera. Like, I got this camera for this class. I wanted to be able to get some really like high resolution, slow-mo videos of the bees by the entrance and just really, really cool videos. I wanted it to be really high quality. And I'm like, no, I'm going to make the investment. It's worth it. So I pop this battery in. I turn it on. The screen flashes and it goes back out. And then I smell like this burnt component smell. Like, when I was in high school, I took this electronics class. So if you know, like, that burnt resistor kind of smell, like, I smelled that and I thought, oh my God, this is not a good thing. This is a bit of a disaster. So knowing that obviously something just happened with the camera, with the burning smell, I reach out to Sony, and thank God they were really cool about things. I explained what happened. I sent it in. They did an assessment for safety to make sure there was no, you know, safety issue with it. They then took it to the repair group. They ordered replacement parts, took a little bit of time for the parts to get in. They did the full install, sent everything back. And I was really excited. It was about 5 weeks to get everything from beginning to end. But I got the camera back and I was like, you know what? It's okay. We lost 5 weeks, but, you know, we've got the bees. We're just going to have to go into crunch time. We're just going to have to get really aggressive with things and simultaneous to that, not compromise quality. Because I will not do that. I will not release to you some garbage that's based on the calendar. It's just not going to happen. I would rather fall on the sword and push it out later than to give you something that is an inferior product. That's just the way it's going to be. So my next round of video, I go in and I'm like, okay, I need to get some good B-roll. Always fun to say, B-roll footage. And I hook up my lens. This is my kit lens that came with the camera. It's something like a 28 by 70 millimeter, you know, variable zoom kind of thing. And I hook it up and it won't focus. Nothing is working with it. I can't adjust the f-stop. Like, there's all these things that just aren't happening with this lens. And I have no idea what's going on. So I'm doing research, trying to figure things out. And it finally dawns on me that that was the lens that was connected to the camera when the camera fried. So now here I am again. I'm like, God does not want me doing this class. Like, this class, for whatever reason, is just not supposed to happen. And I mean, it's just like one thing after another. And so, like, I'm feeling defeated. I'm like, you know what? Let me just see if I can find a way. I'll buy another lens. We'll suck it up and we'll buy another lens. Well, then you have the option of buying like another cheap kit lens for like $500. Or you get an actual decent one. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. So we're probably going to be doing a lot of phone recording for all of this. I'm not dropping like $600 or $700 on a lens. So that's not going to happen. Now, as all of this like chaos is going on, I'm really questioning why I'm even still considering this now, because literally it's just roadblock after roadblock. The tooth was a big one for me. It's like, okay, clearly something is going on. But it seems like every time I turn around, like something is trying to stop me from getting this done. Then this company reaches out and they say, hey, we have this really big thing that we're doing and it's kind of cool and we'd like you to be a part of it. Now, again, right, they're selling me something. So, I mean, let's be clear about it. It's not like, oh my God, you're so amazing. We have to have you as part of our team. They're selling something, but they basically went out and they looked at some metrics on the podcast. And they said, hey, listen, we are rolling out. We have this thing that we're already doing, but we're rolling out a really big release for a new group of creators around a variety of different fields and expertise for this coaching app. And I thought, okay, well, I'll learn some more. I'll do a little bit of research and I'll attend your meeting to kind of view, listen, learn, and discuss things a little bit about what you guys have to offer. So this company essentially provides a platform that allows creators to build apps. A lot of it, there's a big AI component to it, but it's very highly customizable as well. Now, when I first looked at that and I heard like an AI coaching app, I just thought, no way, not interested, right? I like AI. There are some really amazing things that you can do with it. And I fight with it like all the time. Like, if you saw me in my house, you would think that I have emotional issues or problems, which is a issue you can argue or discuss on the side anyway. But for example, the whole thing with the lens. I was trying to troubleshoot. I'm trying to get ideas as to like why my lens wasn't working. And I said, hey, I think it might be related to this electrical issue. And it's like, oh yeah, that's probably related. The electricity can flow through from the camera to the lens. That may very well be what happened. And then I say, well, if it fried a board in there, is there a way to replace that board? And it says, no, you can't do that. Now, recognizing that I know ChatGPT lies a lot, I thought, well, let me go ask Google AI, Gemini. And I said, hey, is there any way to replace these things and get, you know, where are the parts or how's parts availability? Look for those things. And it's like, oh yeah, it's no problem. There's a lot of work involved and it might be some soldering and this and that, but they do have parts available if you know how to do that. Here's a list of places you can get them. It's stuff like that, right? So I'll be yelling at the AI and giving it a hard time. So I'm a little bit like, oh, is AI really kind of the way I want to go on the platform? So I got into it and started looking at it and reviewing everything. And the parts of AI that it is using, I think it's using them well for the portions of the course. So I'll give you kind of an example. It asks you questions like, how long have you been beekeeping? How many hives do you want to have? What is your goal? Like, what is your outcome for you? What makes a positive outcome for you? And what are you trying to get to? And how are you, it doesn't use the words, how are you measuring success? But that's sort of what it's getting at. Like, what does a successful beekeeping journey kind of look like to you? And then it's able to tailor and kind of customize some things. And there are some relatively generic things around beekeeping that it's able to gather and bring in. But then what I'm doing is I'm doing all of my custom videos. So I'll give you an example. There is a area talking about feeding. Now it goes in and it tells you about, oh, here are some different scenarios where feeding the bees makes sense and this and that. And then you go to a video of me standing in my kitchen saying, okay, so this is how we're going to make sugar syrup today. And let me tell you about the differences between a 1-to-1 concentration and a 2-to-1, what they do, which one is appropriate and applicable to different scenarios. And here we are on the stove right now and we're going to mix it up. So I'm showing you exactly how to do it, talking you through when and how it should be used. Separate section on feeders. You know, it's basically a table with some feeders on it. And I'm saying, hey, here is this type of feeder. Here's this type. Here's that type. Let's go over to the hive right now and take a look. The next part of the video, you open up, you know, the hive. Here is an actual frame feeder in use. Notice how it is positioned over here. And this is where the bees are. Let me go ahead and take this one out and we'll take a look at it. And I'm going to show you, you know, what happens sometimes when we find some dead bees inside of it, because it happens all the time. And I'm just going to show you what that looks like. So it's all of my custom material, but it's embedded in the right places. So I'm not dealing with a lot of the back end, you know, structuring a lot of things to make it interactive. It's handling that piece. I'm handling all the detailed parts around the content specific aspects of it. There is an area to create a library. I am putting like different checklists in there. For example, the when you do a hive inspection, there's a hive inspection PDF in there. There's a hive labeling area. So you can print these hive labels that say, you know, hive number, date established, any other pertinent information about that hive. You can laminate it, put that in your records, or a lot of people will just go ahead and clip them and hang the clip on a nail right there at the hive. Same thing with queens, because normally the way that I do it anyway, I record my queens attached to a hive, but they have their own queen number. So if we have queen 23, might be in hive 68. And then I change my internal notes to say, okay, I have moved queen 23 over to nuke 6, while she is doing whatever thing and something else is going on. So queens get numbered separately, but all those different things are contained within, you know, that library area. And it's kind of meant to be broken down by weeks. You know, it goes in, it's like a 12-week kind of journey. And you might say, well, geez, Jeff, I want to learn how to do a hive inspection now. And that's not till whatever it is, week 6 or 7. Inside the library, you still have access to the course videos. So if you need to jump ahead and you want to watch a video on how to do an inspection, you go down to the how to do an inspection video. And there's me walking through how to do an inspection. So what I liked about this, and the reason that I kind of started getting a little excited about it, is it's kind of like a lightweight version of the program we're developing, but it's definitely cheaper than buying a program. It's going to basically allow you to do the beginner courses where we're starting, and then we're going to roll out the intermediate and the advanced. It'll all be in the app. You'll have access to the whole thing. If you get a subscription for it, you can just keep going. Beginner, intermediate, advanced, just roll through all of it, all of your notes. There's like a hive log, inspection log, where you can kind of keep track of inspections that have been done. I want to bring in some more advanced features and things to it. So I haven't kind of worked out all the details with what they can and can customize for me. At this point, it's more just keeping track of, like, hey, how many inspections have you done? How many, you know, Varroa checks have you done, or things like that? There's a lot to it that I think can be upgraded and may need to be upgraded over time. But it's just a nice little lightweight way of having everything in your hand. Now, I see two very distinct different groups of people who might be interested in something like this. Like, I am more of like your desktop laptop kind of guy. Like, I like to open the laptop, sit down there and work. I don't really keep my phone with me. I think that there is a group of people who loves being mobile. They just love to have everything at their fingertips, and they love to consume information and things in that way. Now, the other course that we're working on, the full master program, that also can be done mobile. You can take the training in a mobile, you know, the mobile app version of the whole course. But the way that this is designed, I just think it has a little more flexibility. Like, you can actually take a picture of something like at the hive while your phone is in your hand and, you know, upload that. And now there is a thing right now where the AI is looking at the image and it's making an interpretation. The things that I am trying to, you know, insert all over the place is the ability to contact me, the ability to engage me, because this course is very customizable. And I know that things are going to have to change, because I remember some of the old software development days from years ago. The best way to break software is to put it in the hands of a user. So I'm looking for people to tell me, like, hey, I got in and I was trying to do something and this wasn't good or this wasn't right, and we can get it fixed. It's very nimble and very adaptable. And I can go in there and tweak things very quickly. I do want to make sure that things are set up in a way to where accessibility is pretty crystal clear, to make sure you're getting the experience that you want to get out of it. So this is where the shift in things went. I kind of put all the energy here. I thought, you know, this is kind of cool. This is neat. And it also offers a, I think it's a free 7-day trial. You can go in there, check it out. And if you decide you don't like it, it's not a good fit for you, you just don't pay. You don't pay for it, and that's fine. But I think it's going to be kind of a cool way to have information at your fingertips. There's going to be a lot of images in there. So if you're out at the hive and you're doing an inspection, you see something and you're like, I don't know what this is. Because on a kind of a tiny little bit of a sidebar, I know I never do that, but I'm going to go ahead and do one now, a little sidebar. I've said this for a really long time to new beekeepers. Don't worry about trying to be an expert at all of the things that can go wrong within a hive. There are so many. I can sit here and talk all day for the next 2 hours on all the things that can go wrong. I want you to focus your time, your attention, and your energy on looking for and knowing what right looks like. When you pull a frame out, and you look at it, I want you to say, this is normal. This looks good. I see a good brood pattern. The open brood, I can see a lot of royal jelly there. And those larvae have plenty of food. And just off to the side of that, I see that there's plenty of nectar and pollen available for them to continue feeding the next, you know, group of brood that is going to be raised in that space. I see a little bit of stored honey off to the corners. There's some drone brood down below. You're going through the whole frame and the hive, and you know what normal looks like. I think that that is just incredibly valuable, because when you focus on just normal and just identifying what normal is, you can then say, ooh, wait a minute, I don't know what this is, but I know it's not right. And that's where I think having things, you know, within that app, you can pull the library up and you can go into like the IPM and diseases and pests, you know, there's different sections. And you might go into the diseases images or whatever and start flipping through chalk brood, you know, foul brood, American foul brood, European, you know, you're going through and you're like, whoa, 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 what is that right there? Wax moth. Oh, that's what we have here. We have, this is a trail cut through this piece of honeycomb here. And it's got this, you know, debris that looks like little dots of, you know, like roach poop looking stuff on it with some spider webbing. And that's where you say, okay, this is obviously related to a wax moth. That's what I really think is pretty neat about the app, the way that you pull those things up. Now, there's other ways to do that. You can certainly go and, you know, make your own library, make your own little database, find some kind of AI thing you can search for, and hopefully it gets it right. I'm going to promise you that the things I put in the app are going to be right. So if you go and you want to look at something and you say, oh, chalk brood, it is actually going to be an image of chalk brood or American foul brood or European foul brood. Like, these things are going to be correct in the app. At least everything in the library that I upload and provide there, I know for a fact. If you're searching online and you're relying on some of these third-party things to get the answer right, that might be a little hit or miss. Well, everyone, I didn't really think that I was going to talk this long about all of that, but I got a little bit excited about the app, and I think it's pretty neat. Like, I think it's really cool. I am still testing and doing things with it pretty much every day. I am adding content to it every day for about the next 2 weeks. I have, I think, 17 or 18 videos that I need to still get added into it. And I'm pretty head down with this. Like, this is my big focus. But again, I can't help but to get out there and, you know, get some bee videos and check in on them. I'm really excited to have them back at the house. Now, I know that I said that I was originally going to answer the questions and do sort of like that bee buzz round at the end of this, but it went so long, I'm just going to go ahead and break that out into a separate episode. So all those questions are answered, and I will release that tomorrow. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, by Friday, the Q&A bee buzz will be out. And that's about another 45-minute episode by itself. So thank you all again. Thank you for your support. Please check us out, youtube.com/@beekeepingfornewbies. Take care. Be kind to one another. Remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.